I wonder, could we turn our Bibles to the book of Joshua for scripture reading tonight, to chapter 7 of the book of Joshua. We're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter. The book of Joshua, chapter 7, and beginning our reading at the first verse of the chapter. Joshua chapter 7, beginning our reading at verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord, until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us around, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? The Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of their cursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to thee, that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and led them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with them took Achan the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones, and burned them with fire, after they stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word to our hearts already in the messages and song. We thank thee for the reminder that thou dost pardon the guilty. And we pray that thou wouldst bless as we gather around thy word. We are glad that we come to a God of mercy and a God of grace. And we pray that thou wouldst give grace tonight, and that thou wouldst bless the going forth of thy word, and speak through it to each and every soul gathered under the sound of thy word tonight. Bless us now, we pray of thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The seventh chapter of the book of Joshua starts with an ominous but. This chapter really marks a change in mood from the great victories that the children of Israel were winning as they entered into the promised land. If you read Joshua chapter 6, you'll read about the mighty victory that was achieved at Jericho. And you remember how the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they marched around 7 times, and they blew the trumpets, and they shouted, and the walls of the city had fallen flat, so that they were able to capture the mighty city of Jericho. And we're told at the end of the chapter 6 how the fame of that and the dread of that spread through the whole land. And now the people were fearful that now these mighty people who were able to do such a thing, or such a thing could be done in their behalf, would enter into the land. But immediately we enter into chapter 7, and it says, But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. You see the children of Israel here. Before this, they had been under the direction of God. They had been obedient to him. They had crossed the Jordan. The flood of the Jordan had been stopped. They had come to Gilgal. They had made a confession. They had circumcised again and entered into the sign of the covenant. And what a tremendous victory they had had. But immediately that the victory is entered into, we find that disaster strikes. Now something happens, sin enters into the midst. And then they go up against the smaller town of Ai. Having achieved the victory at Jericho, they were now confident. They thought, we have no trouble in capturing the little town of Ai. And they go up in their own confidence, and they are put to flight. And the whole army begins to flee. And we read how in chapter 5, or chapter 7, verse 5, it says, And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. So they went up in confidence and came down again in ignominious defeat. And what was the reason? Well, there are a number of reasons, but a big part of the reason was the sin that had entered in. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the cursed thing. Now, this man, Achan, had seen a goodly garment, a Babylonish garment. He'd seen gold and silver. He had taken those things. He coveted those things. And he stole those things from God. And because of that one sin, the whole of the children of Israel went into absolute defeat. And I want you to see that. I want you to notice particularly the effect of one sin. Here was one man amidst the thousands of Israel who committed one sin. And that one sin is enough to bring disaster upon the whole of the children of Israel. And it is my prayer that we might see the absolute debauchery of sin and the effects of sin. God forbid that there should be such a sin in our midst, that somebody is harboring a sin, an unconfessed sin, that sin lurks in the midst of God's people, because that is the thing that brings defeat and disaster amongst the people of God. I want us to think about the sin of Achan tonight, because here is a very solemn word. Here's a very solemn passage of Scripture, and I pray that God will speak to our hearts, that there may not be sin amongst us, that we may come in confession to God tonight and have done with every sin. So let's look at the sin of Achan for a few minutes tonight. And I want you to see the pervasiveness of its effects. Look at what it says in verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. And then later on it says that Achan took up the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now, while the children of Israel had been winning the mighty victory, God discerned something wrong. God discerned this sin. And I want you to see the comprehension of God once again. We're reminded that nothing escapes the omniscience of Almighty God. Achan had taken this Babylonish garment, and he had taken this silver and gold, and surreptitiously he had hidden it in his own tent. And he thought that nobody had seen. He thought he'd got away with this sin. God, of course, had issued instructions that when Jericho was taken, that all the spoils and all the silver and the gold, everything was to be burned except the precious metals, and they were to be brought into the treasury of God. So really what Achan was doing here was stealing from God. He was robbing God. He was taking that which God had said was his. And God saw that. And we're reminded that God looks in our hearts and he sees all we do. We're told in Psalm 139 and verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Sin never escapes that watchful eye. God looks down from heaven and sees the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. We're told in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, if you harbor your sins, then it will bring disaster. The Bible says if you confess them, then you'll have mercy. But the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be discovered, although they will be discovered eventually. But it means that they will find you out in your conscience, find you out in your health, find you out in guilt that racks you and ruins you. Be not deceived, the Bible says. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So we notice the comprehension of God. God saw. Well, here's a man who thought he could get away with it. How stupid he was. And yet, how often we think to ourselves, somehow God will not see or God will overlook. And in the secret places of our hearts, in our homes, in the places where nobody is looking, we are ourselves and we enter into things and somehow it's got into our mind that God will not see. Yes, God has seen that thing. Those things are written in the books of God. They are recorded against the day of judgment. God sees. But not only do we see the comprehension of God, but look at the corruption of the sin. Because we notice that not only was Achan put to the blame here, but the whole of the children of Israel were put to the blame. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now that doesn't seem fair in some ways. Here's a man who commits a sin, he enters in, and we think about the situation, and I'm sure that most of the people, if not all of the people except Achan, had no idea that that sin had been committed. They had no idea that the Babylonish garment or these things had been secreted in the tent of Achan. Not only that, but Achan is an individual. Very often in the Bible, individual is responsible for his own sin. We're told in the Bible that the sins of the fathers will be not visited on the children. We are responsible for our own sin. But I want you to realize that we do not sin in the corner. Our sin also affects other people. And that is particularly so amongst the people of God. Because God treats us as a group of people. We are in covenant relationship with God, but we are in covenant relationship with one another. And sometimes when we transgress, we are all held as guilty. If there's sin amongst us, and there is that flagrant sin, then it will stop the blessing of God coming upon all. Now, it doesn't matter how much we work and how much we go, that one sin can stop the blessing of God amongst the people. He says here, the children of Israel have committed a trespass in the cursed thing. And you know, we can go out at times and be like Samson, who wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And there is the principle of collective responsibility among the people of God. We think of how Paul, or John rather, wrote to the churches in Asia. He wrote to the church at Pergamos. And he said, I have a few things against thee. And he goes on to specify what he had against them. And he says, thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balak, or Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now you notice that not all of them are to blame. Thou hast there them. There were some in the church who held to these false doctrines. But he says to the whole church, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of thy mouth. The command is to the church as a whole. And there's a sense in which if there's sin harbored amongst us, we are all counted guilty. One member can hurt the body. One member. So that is why we need to be careful about our sins. And we need to make sure that we keep short accounts with God. Because we could be guilty of hindering the blessing of God. The name Achan means trouble. The Valley of Achor, after that he was called after, means the Valley of Trouble. He was a troubler amongst the people of God. And God forbid that I should be that. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So we notice the comprehension of God, and we notice the corruption of sin. But I want you to think about the circumstances of the man. Because we might think to this man, of this man here, Achan, who did this awful thing, that was a total pagan, a bad man, a man who drank iniquity like water, something like the Canaanites that were round about. But he wasn't anything like that. You remember that he was from a family that had been brought out of the bondage of Egypt. You remember how that he himself would have been saved probably. You remember when Pharaoh had issued the decree that all the male children of the children of Israel should be put to death. Remember how he told the Hebrew midwives that when a male child was born, that it should be put to death. And this man was saved at that time. Not only that, but when the death angel had passed through the land of Egypt, the blood had been sprinkled upon the doorposts and on the lintels of his house. His father had done that. His grandfather and his grandfather had passed through the wilderness. They had been given manna to eat and they'd been given water to drink and so on. And they had experienced all these blessings. They had been brought into the land of promise. They had seen the great river Jordan dry up to let them through on dry land. They had experienced the mighty blessings of God. And yet this man who had experienced so many blessings, still when he sees a Babylonian garment, turns and takes the thing that God had said was his. Now doesn't that show us the waywardness of our hearts? Doesn't that show us what we can do? We can do that so easily. And any of us that look in our hearts tonight can see how easily we can slip down into the place of sin. This man wasn't a total heathen. This is a man who experienced the blessings of God and the deliverance of Almighty Jehovah. And yet still, he slips down into this awful sin. You know, the Bible says, purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. And we need to purge out the leaven of sin and deal with that sin that's in our hearts. So we notice the pervasiveness of this sin's effect. But then I want you to see the particulars of its attributes. What was this sin? Well, look at the details. If you look at verse 11, it says there, it gives some of the details of the sin that Achan had committed. It says that Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the cursed thing, and have also stolen, and assembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Now when you examine that verse, you'll see that there are six items in this terrible indictment against them. He says, first of all, Israel has sinned. That's the general accusation. But then he goes on to make the accusations. And the first one is, they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. Now, the covenant that he is referring to is a covenant that he made with the whole congregation, that when they would enter into Jericho, that all the spoils should be given to God. God had claimed all the spoils of this city, and Achan had broken that covenant. Here is God giving them the details, the stipulations that he had wanted them, and instead of being obedient to God, this man just flagrantly goes against what God has to say. You know, it's no light thing to disobey God. Sometimes people have got it into their heads that it is just a matter of opinion or a matter of choice or a matter of preference what we do as far as the commands of God are concerned. God has spoken in his word and we need to take what God has said. If we break these commands, we are guilty of sin. They've broken the divine law. And then it says, they have even taken of the cursed thing. Now here is the specific violation. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 7 says, and there shall cleave naught of the cursed thing to thy land or to thy hand. And when you deliberately sin against God and do that which is prohibited of God, you bring a curse upon you. In other words, you bring upon you the displeasure of Almighty God. And they broke the law of God flagrantly, and they broke the law of God surreptitiously. It says, and have also stolen. Here was Achan, and he behaved like a thief. He took the thing secretly, and he thought he would not be noticed, and he put it among his stuff in his tent and covered it over and buried it in the ground. You know, here he was, and he thought that he could cover over sin. Not only did he break the sin flagrantly and surreptitiously, but he broke it deceitfully, it says, and dissembled also. That means that he took a cloak, as it were, to disguise it. He told lies. He tried to cover it over. He pretended that he was innocent. Perhaps he made excuses to himself and tried to justify his sin in the sight of God. And Achan might have made all the excuses that he wanted, but he couldn't get over the fact that what he had done was take from the treasury of God. You know, we can take from the treasury of God. The Bible speaks about the tithes and offerings that we bring in. And it says in the book of Malachi, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. God sees us. God knows all about us. He sees what we do. He knows all that we have thought and every motivation of our hearts. And here was a man who was trying to cover his tracks by lies. Not only do we see the details of his sin, but look at the description of his sin. Look at verse 21. Here is Achan's own confession. He says, I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, their head in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now I want you to notice the verbs. I saw, I coveted, I took, I hid. It's I. And you notice how he is blinded by desire. What he's looking for is material prosperity. That's the thing. He just took it, he slipped it into his clothes, and he took it away with him without hardly thinking. This is an age of materialism. This is an age when we're bombarded by advertisements and all sorts of pressure that we need this and we need that, and we get this good and that that device and all these different things, and those will fill, these were the things that will make us happy. And Achan obviously had fallen for that kind of lying. You know, the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. And you know, in this world of materialism, and in this world where gold is king, we need to remember that those are not the things that will make us happy. Those are not the things that will make us fulfilled. Here was a man, and he took what belonged to God, and he thought that it would make him happy, but he was robbing the Almighty God of heaven. Malachi says, bring all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Are we robbing God? Are we taking from our Maker? Are we concealing sin within our hearts? Are we stopping the opening of the windows of heaven and the pouring out of the blessing that there may not be room enough to receive? Is there a cursed thing in the midst? But then I want you to see something else. Not only do we see the pervasiveness of the sin, and the particulars of its attributes. But I want you to see the purging of the abomination. Because I'm glad tonight that the sin that is here can be dealt with, and the sin that is in our hearts can be dealt with. And you notice how the sin is dealt with here. First of all, it is sought out. Look at verse 14. We are told the procedure that they were to enter into. It says, "In the morning therefore ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take come by the households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man." So what there was a filtering out, first of all, of the tribes, then of the families, then of the household. And you'll notice that the finger of blame is coming closer and closer. First of all, there is the tribe of Judah that's taken, and then the family of Zerah that's taken, and then the household of Zabdi, and then Achan is pointed out, the source of the problem. God here was filtering down and processing these families and these tribes, and putting his finger upon the one who was to blame. Is God putting a finger in your heart? Is God putting a finger in your life? You know, that's what needs to happen. God needs to show us the problem. He needs to seek out the very problems that are in our hearts, and God needs to show us the things that are wrong. This sin was sought out, and then it was cast out. You notice that there are two parts to the process of casting out the sin. First of all, there's the penitence of the leader. We read that Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth before the ark of God. Look at verses 7 to 9. And he cries to God. Look at what he cries. "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Now there are many faults to that prayer. There are many things that we could say that Joshua said that were wrong. But I want you to see the overall fact, and that it was a prayer that was heard in heaven. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And sometimes the confession can be faulty. Sometimes we mightn't just understand all that we're saying or doing. But you know, if that confession comes from the heart, God will receive it. Look at what God says in verse 10. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" And the Lord's really saying to Joshua, "What are you praying for now? Get up and do something." Now he's not blaming Joshua for praying. He's not saying, Joshua, you shouldn't pray. That's not what the Lord is saying. But there is a time when we need to get up and do something. The Lord was saying to him, Joshua, stop confessing now. Get up and get rid of the sin. Get rid of what you're doing. Turn around. And here he was, and he brought the matter to God, and God cleansed him and gave him the ability to turn it round. And you know, here was a man, and there might have been many faults, but here's a man who brings his need to God. And I'm glad that if we bring our need to God, God will hear us. If you come confessing your sin tonight, God will hear you. If you bring your sin to the throne of heavenly grace, God will hear you. By grace you're saved through faith, And that not of yourselves is the gift of God. So there's the penitence of the leader. But then look at the punishment of the sinner. Look at verse 25. And here's the sentence upon Achan. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they'd stoned them with stones. Achan had to die. You know, there we see that the accursed thing has to be dealt with. And we read that Achan dies. Achan dies. See, if we hold on to sin, sinner, if you hold on to sin, the sentence upon sin is death. They're burned with fire. Now, it may sound here perhaps as if not only was Achan burned with fire, but his family was. Many of the Jewish rabbis would dispute that, and where it says that they burned them with fire, many of the Jewish rabbis would say that the "them" refers to the things that he had stolen. We can say either way. What I will say is this, that if Achan's family also was burned with fire, then they were also implicated in the sin. God does not punish those who are not guilty of the sin. The punishment comes for our own sin. Dear friend, you know the Bible says that the Lord is of purer eyes than to behold evil and canst not look upon iniquity. There is consequences for sin. There's consequences for sin. Achan means troubler. He was a man who certainly lived up to his name. He brought trouble. The epitaph that is across his name is "the troubler of Israel." We're told in verse 26, "And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day," the Valley of Trouble. So this heinous thing was immortalized. Here's a man who held on to his sin and suffered the consequences of holding on to his sin. Isn't it an awful thing that sin is? Don't we need sin dealt with? Unsaved person, you need to come to the cross. You need to come to the foot of the cross. Saved person, you can't die for your sin. But my, you can cause a lot of trouble. You can bring a lot of trouble. And we need to have sin dealt with. We need to see it for the heinous thing that it is. And what an awful thing if we should prevent the blessing of God and the outpouring of heaven's flood tides of revival because of the sin that we harbor in our hearts. The sin of Achan. Achan sinned. But God said, "Israel has sinned." He counted that the whole of Israel was guilty. And that's a solemn thing. We need sin dealt with. Make sure tonight that you come to the cross. That you come to the Savior. And make sure that we confess our sins to the one who is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. May God write his message upon our hearts. And may sin be dealt with in our souls tonight. Let's just unite in a word of prayer.